Wrong button. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being here today for the Technical Coordinating Committee meeting through the CORE MPO. We are now at a quorum, so before we get started, can I go ahead and have everyone up here introduce themselves, starting at my right?
Keith Means, Savannah Airport Commission.
Nathan Clark, City of Richmond Hill.
Kayla Brown, Bike Walk Savannah.
Jonathan Holm, Effingham County.
Michelle Strickland, City of Savannah.
Omar Sinati, City of Fort Wentworth.
Katie Proctor, GDOT.
And I am Deanna Brooks with Chatham County. So we will start with our agenda. First thing is going to be approval of today's agenda. Can I get a motion?
Motion, Nathan Clark.
Brown, second.
Motion is seconded. Can we start the approval to my left?
Okay, Proctor, yes.
Sinati, yes.
Strickland, yes.
Holm, yes.
Brown, yes.
Clark, yes.
Means, yes.
Brooks, yes. All right. On to our action items, approval of the December 12th CORE MPO TCC meeting minutes. Any comments? Can we get a motion?
The minutes brought up to the screen.
Holm will make a motion.
All right. Motion to approve the minutes.
Clark, second.
All right. We'll start the vote to the right.
Means, yes.
Clark, yes.
Brown, yes.
Holm, yes.
Lynn, yes.
Sinati, yes.
Proctor, yes.
Oh, Teague, yes.
Deanna Brooks, yes. All right. And then we will on to the next thing, National Highway System Change Request.
Okay. I will bring up this letter that we received from GDOT. Basically, GDOT received the letter from the military, basically. So we need to make some changes to the national highway system regarding the STRANET or strategic highway network that is related to the military. And this is the reason that they explained, because the Savannah Port Authority actually made made it available to have military access on the port. So they need to make some changes to add some segments to the STRANET network and remove some segments from STRANET network as well. GDOT actually gave us this table that shows the six segments that will be impacted. So here's the map. So basically for two of these roadways on the national highway system will be removed from the STRANET connector. One is the North Lathrop Avenue, and another one is the West Lathrop Avenue. And then four segments will be added to the STRANET network. So that will be basically the Jimmy DeLoach. So you can say C and D over here, State Route 25, and then the Jimmy DeLoach connector, and then the Jimmy DeLoach Parkway over here. So these will be added to the, the STRANET network. So this letter actually includes all the detailed information, the reasoning, justification, why it is needed, and then the segment, beginning segment, and segment, and also the NHS program changes. So basically just to remove two segments from the STRANET and add four segments to the STRANET. Any questions on this? I can just make it a little bigger. You can see.
All right. If we have no questions, do we want to make a motion to recommend? Can we get a motion for this to a recommend adopting this requested change?
Maines, motion.
Holm, second.
Start at my left.
Proctor, yes.
Senata, yes.
Strickland, yes.
Holm, yes.
Brown, yes.
Clark, yes.
Maines, yes.
Teagues?
Yes.
And Brooks, yes.
Okay, thank you.
And then up next, we've got the fiscal year 2026 UPWP adoption.
Okay. I did present the Unified Planning Work Program at the December meeting. So outlined to you what emphasis areas, what planning work the Cornfield staff will be doing and what budget for each task. Since then, we sent the preliminary draft to Federal Highway Administration, Federal Transit Administration, and Georgia Department of Transportation for review and comment. And we did receive some comments, and I have highlighted all of those comments, and we addressed the comments as well. I have highlighted all of the changes throughout the document. So as you can see the roster, we have some changes because of the new committee members. For example, Mr. Paul Teague will be representing Bryan County for TCC, and Robbie Bird will be representing the Effingham County Municipalities because they have a rotating seat. So Robert Bird will be representing the Effingham County Municipalities and his farm Rincon. So all of these and will be reflected in the roster. Another major thing that FHWA wants us to do is to add the TIF development schedule. So that is the major thing that we added in. So this TIF development schedule I added in over here is based on the assumption that we will receive the revenue projection for the TIF projects in January. So everything is just a backtrack all of these milestones. But what we do want to do is we will conduct a call for projects in basically the latter half of this year so that they can build up our waiting list. So when the revenues become available, we will program the funds to the projects. But we want to build a project list first. So that's why we want to do the call for projects. And I think the TCC will be reviewing the new criteria about how to score those projects on the scoring criteria, and also you will review the application form. And we will probably still do a pre-application workshop just to make sure, because we have a lot of new members who don't know. So we will always try to reach high, so request more than you need. So, and also plan it out. Don't just do this 1 year. You can just do 4, 5, 6 years. So that's just to make sure. And if you do have some projects that you want to apply the funding for, make sure they are consistent with the 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan. But if it's the operational improvements, that's fine. If you wanted like right turn lanes, left turn lanes, that's fine. Or roundabouts, that's fine. Bicycle pedestrian lanes, those are fine. But the specific projects, the bigger projects, the highway projects, make sure they're consistent. They're included in the 2050 MTP. So we will probably talk more about this at later meetings. This is just want to let you know that we will conduct a call for projects latter half of this year. And then next year, we will focus on developing the TIP. So this is the major change that we added to the UPWP. And another major change that is we documented the comments, and so you see the comments and the responses. It says you will see they are documented in the appendix. So besides the adding the TIF development schedule, we also for the unfunded studies, because the city of Savannah requested a micro simulation project, and they wanted to be the RFP manager. They want to conduct RFP. But unfortunately, if we are applying for the discretionary PL funds, and because those funds are not directly applicable and not directly available to the local agencies, so the MPO has to be the one, because those are MPO funds. So we have to be the one to manage that. So just make sure that you understand it. And then Effingham County wanted to do the Old River Road study. But since we do have a Old River Road project in the 2050 MTP, we don't think that we need a study. But if we decided that will be different concepts, and we can probably amend the UPWP later. But at this point, they already missed the call for plans and studies deadline. And the transit also, CAD also wanted to make sure that we include some certain language, because previously when we applied for the Section 5303 discretionary funds, we say we apply for that funds for the remix software, but that was the sole bidder for CAD. But CAD later on, they did a call for projects, so three proposals were received. So they have different vendors. So even if remix was selected, they were not the sole bidder. So there was one of those that top three, so was selected something. So we have to reflect that language in the UPWP. So those are the major changes that I have made, in January, and then we got a new president and new directives, about everything, including transportation. So, this document might need to, I need to do a little bit editing based on the new directives. Supposedly Federal Highway Administration will release the new directives yesterday, actually February the 18th, but we haven't received anything. I have checked on the FHWA website, USDOT website. I haven't received anything. The reason is because, they previously, FHWA wanted us to include federal emphasis areas in the UPWP document. And one of those is equity, so Justice 40. So now the new directions, anything related to equity, environmental justice, resiliency, accessibility, those would be forbidden words. So we probably have to make some changes to this, because many of the tasks that we do involve, like even if you want to build bike lanes, pedestrian sidewalks, connectivity, accessibility, definitely, right? And also those would benefit like low income, so it's nice, okay, not allowed or something. So there will be some re-editing of the document, some document over here. But the budget doesn't change. So because we already got all of the budget, the final numbers, last time, so we allocate them to each task. So the budget doesn't change. It's just probably the wording will be a change a little bit. Like resiliency might be economic development, efficiency or something. So when you endorse this UPWP, just to keep in mind that we might need to do a little bit tweaking of the words and probably delete some sections and probably add some sections based on the new directive. We hope those will come out pretty soon. So just want to let you know. Any questions?
I just have one. I know you mentioned call for projects later this year, mm-hmm. having the workshop and going over the scores. Do you kind of have like a timeline of like when that would be, any of those things?
I think we probably want to do start call for projects in August. So we will probably have a pre-application workshop probably in August as well, or probably in September, something like that. Okay. So we give all of the agencies about a month to respond, because currently there are so many uncertainties, because previously, or currently, we manage the SDBG program or Y230 funds and transportation alternatives funds and then the carbon reduction program funds, right? But right now, since resiliency is questionable, so we don't know whether we will have carbon reduction program funds. And since the deputy secretary of USDOT is against the public transportation and the pedestrian safety, so maybe transportation alternative funds will go away. We just don't know at this point. So when we have a little bit of certainty, and we will develop those menus.
Are there any other questions for Wakoda? All right. Can we get a motion to endorse the UPWP adoption with those recommended changes?
Clark, so moved.
Brown, second.
All right, start the vote to the right.
Means yes.
Clark, yes.
Brown, yes.
Holm, yes.
Strickland, yes.
Senate, yes.
Proctor, yes.
Teague, yes.
Brooks, yes. All right. We have made it through our action items.
Okay, thank you.
Up next, status reports.
Okay.
Yes, 80 corridor
study. Yeah, I would just talk a little bit more about the U.S. 80 corridor studies. We did issue the RFP at the end of December. And by the deadline, we did receive two proposals. The deadline for completing the proposal scoring is tomorrow. So I'm compiling all the scores. So by the end of tomorrow, I should have the compiled scores. Since we only got two proposals, so we decided to interview both of them. So Karen probably will send out do the poll to the review committee, schedule the interview, and after that the scores will be compiled. So it's like both written scores and then the interview scores combined, and then we will decide which ones to select. And then we will probably start to develop a contract, but probably we cannot sign the contract just because we don't know the funding certainty at this point because of all of this, new administration and new changes. So I think the project will be delayed a little bit because previously we thought we can kick off the study in April or early April, but if we cannot sign a contract, we don't know. So when we have a little bit of certainty, we will decide how to sign when to sign the contract and then have the study kick off. But at least what we can do is now is review the proposals, score them, and have the rankings ready. And so by the time we need to sign the contract, and we will sign the contract, but we will develop the contract as well, but just waiting for the certainty the funding will be available. Any questions? Okay, thank you.
Up next, urban flood model study phase two.
Good afternoon, Anna Broad-Merkel-McQuarrie, Core MPO staff. As Wycota noted, federal funding is uncertain and no contract will be signed until we have clarity. With the urban flooding model study phase two, we did delay the final submission date by a day and a half due to the winter weather. So the closing date was February 4th. However, on February 11th, we put a 30-day pause on this RFP to give us time to navigate the changes from the federal government and assess the impacts. Obviously, this study is directly related to climate change and social vulnerability. And so we will give an update on March 11th on how we are choosing to proceed.
Not a question of who, but how many proposals did you all get?
We received one.
Any other questions for Anna? All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Up next, Core MPO Bicycle and Ped Facility Study.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Asia Herndon for the record. So the Bicycle and Pedestrian Facility Study is a study that aims to document and create a mapped inventory of our bike lanes, sidewalks, and crosswalks throughout the Core MPO planning area. So that includes all of Chatham County, parts of Effingham County, and parts of Bryan County. In the study, we'll also provide an analysis of the gaps and opportunities within our local non-motorized transportation system. In terms of looking at our RFP to see what this project is in more detail, if you have not, the RFP and the addendum can be found on the Core MPO's RFP website here, as well as the other RFPs that we've talked about today. So the RFP was released on January 21st. We received several questions, and we addressed those questions here. We've also received two proposals so far. And the deadline to submit proposals is tomorrow, so we hope to receive some more. So the proposed project timeline is April 24th, 2025 to March 31st, 2027. But as Wycota and Anna stated earlier, we are waiting for further clarification from the federal government to see if any of this changes. So that is the end of this status report. Again, all of this is also on the RFP website, but these are the questions and the answers that we received from the possible consulted agencies that would have liked to work with us. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Asia.
Thank you.
Up next, the non-motorized transportation plan update.
Okay. I will be presenting that as well. Okay. So the Core MPO's non-motorized transportation plan is a bicycle and pedestrian plan. So included in this plan is bicycle and pedestrian projects, specifically local ones, community goals and objectives regarding bike lanes and sidewalks and crosswalks. And then also community information regarding non-motorized transportation. So this project has been ongoing for a while, but it did have to be paused to accommodate the development of other projects, including the 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan. But we've now restarted the development of this plan, and we are aiming to complete it and adopt it in June of 2025, so in a few months. So in terms of current status, so the next step in this process is to score and rank the projects. The projects is a big part of the non-motorized transportation plan, and we have a lot of projects within the non-motorized transportation plan update. So that is around 500 projects, and we have to score every single one. So staff and the non-motorized transportation plan steering committee are going to come together and find the simplest but also most effective way to score such a high number of projects. And so we aim to complete that scoring by the end of March. In terms of the steering committee has also been reactivated, and we will have future meetings regarding this project. And the next meeting will specifically be about finalizing that scoring methodology and then moving on to actually scoring the projects. So we aim to hold a steering committee meeting soon. It's looking more like the beginning of March rather than the end of February, but it'll be very soon. In relation to the bicycle and pedestrian facility study, so this plan will be adopted before the completion of the bicycle and pedestrian facility study. But when that facility study is completed, the results from that study will be used in future updates of the non-motorized transportation plan. So this is just some considerations that we have for the scoring methodology for the non-motorized transportation plan. And so just to quickly go through it, we want to create something similar to the equity scoring methodology we did for the 2050 MTP. So with the steering committee, when we were first working on the non-motorized transportation plan methodology, a lot of what we discussed in that meeting, I actually used in the 2050 MTP equity scoring. So there are going to be a lot of similarities between that scoring methodology and then the non-motorized transportation plan scoring methodology. We also want to use map data and descriptive data in that scoring. And by descriptive data, we want to know details about the project, such as if it's a protected facility or not, for example. We also want to include American Community Survey data, poverty data, zero-car household data, and then also map data on our public transit and our existing bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure. And we also want to give considerations to safety and crash data, and then also give more priority and consideration to the bicycle facilities and pedestrian facilities that are protected. So that means there's a barrier that separates them from motorized traffic. So that is the end of this status report, but if there are any questions or comments, I can take them now.
Was the entire MPO region included in this?
Yes.
I'm not sure when the study started, I guess. I'm just curious if Effingham was included in a part of that.
Yes. So at the beginning of this project, it was done before the current bylaws and boundary update. So at first, the boundaries were not in Effingham County, but we were still trying to include projects because we knew the boundary would expand. So on our end, most of the projects are in Chatham County, but we still wanted to make sure that we had Bryan County and Effingham County projects in the plan. But if you have any projects that you feel like are missing, you can submit that to us, and then we can make sure to get it in the plan and then get it scored and squared away.
Okay, sounds good. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well,
I do want to add something, especially I already told you that we are going to do call for projects. So if you plan to apply for funding for some of the projects that those are not included in the normal dress plan, make sure they're included.
How were projects, like the 500 projects that are in it, how were they identified? Are they just network gaps or were they submitted? Or?
So it was a variety of different ways. So one of the ways that we identified projects was we actually worked with Kayla from Bike Walk Savannah, and we drew out possible long-range routes for non-motorized travel that can then act as an anchor for other routes to branch off of. So that was one area. Another area that we drew projects from were some of the studies that we've had in the past. So past studies have identified possible projects for sidewalks, bike lanes, and other non-motorized infrastructure. And so we looked at those past projects, and then we took those projects from there and then put it into the non-motorized transportation plan. And then also just discussing with different municipalities, different members of our steering committee, for example, on our Transportation Equity and Public Involvement Advisory Committee. I did speak to one of the committee members who has a vision impairment, and he told us about the crosswalks that aren't audible, and he needs those audible crosswalks so they can be safe. So we added that into the non-motorized plan too.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for Asia?
Asia, if you would, could you just email, I guess, myself and Brian the latest on that?
Yeah.
So we can look at it. Thank you.
All right. Just one thing that we had discussed for the scoring of the projects, because we originally were looking at a more heavy focus on equity and some of the elements that may not continue to be scored as highly. But we had discussed potentially creating a two-tier scoring network of, or scoring rubric of things like economic development or filling out those existing corridors, crash data, things like that, and having that as one grade, and then having a secondary grade that that had our demographic data and things that may need to be pulled out, just so we don't have to rescore the project again.
If I may, I would suggest, in light of all the stuff that's going on, that before we start scoring anything, we definitely need to come up with new criteria so that everybody's mm-hmm. being scored fairly before we start that scoring process. So the folks that are on the review committee and all of us, we need to send that back out to let you know what we're using to score. We need to change some of the weights on that scoring, because it's a different time, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's very different, and we need to be very strategic about how we're putting projects forward and what we're calling them.
And you guys have that open right now for that steering committee, right?
Yes. So we sent out an email. It was a doodle poll to schedule an upcoming steering committee meeting. I can send that doodle poll out, and then also just a link to the virtual meeting that we will have on that. And then I also scrolled back to this page that has some of the considerations that we have for a scoring methodology. Right now, the language in it, I hope, is not too heavily politicized right now, like zero car households, I think is something that we could retain in relation to a non-motorized transportation plan, for example, or existing public transit is something that we can retain. But again, we do recognize that these are different times, and we want to create something that will not impede these projects' development.
And one of the things, if I may, for those of you that know Melanie, that this is a perfect example where we're sitting here thinking that existing public transit wouldn't be that big of a deal. You've got a deputy secretary that hates public transit. So we need to be very strategic about how we place weights in order to get what we end up wanting to get in the long run. And that's what I'm talking about. We need to look at these items. We need to look at who's in these seats right now and be strategic about how we can at least get what we need to get done, but not have it be so obvious as we're sending this through. Because as you know, there's a different level of review even for once we get these done. There's going to go to another level of folks doing the review of what we're doing. So just really kind of be mindful of that when you're looking at this criteria, looking at who's sitting in the seats right now and what they value as being important Because one of the weird things that I've had to look at and been looking at is just the demographics, because there was a comment that was made about placing more weight on communities that have higher birth rates. That might sound crazy to you, but that's something that I got to look at. We got to look at it because it is something that will be used in making decisions about how funds will be allocated. So as I said, I can't stress to you enough how different this is and how we have to really be creative if we want to get our funding through for some of the projects that we want to see done.
Thank y'all. There's nothing else. We will move on to the PROTECT grant updates.
Again, Anna Broadmark-McQuarrie, Core MPO staff. So as you all were aware, we were applying for Promoting Resilient Operations for Transformative, Efficient, and Cost-Saving Transportation, or PROTECT, discretionary grant to develop a resilience improvement plan, of which we changed the name to the Coastal Region MPO Efficiency and Quality Improvement Plan, or EQIP. And so, you know, we were watching the DOT updates coming, and this grant had not been pulled off grants.gov, and we proceeded with the application until notified on February 12th that the Notice of Funding Opportunity, or NOFO, was removed from grants.gov as of February 11th for review by FHWA. We'd like to thank everyone that submitted a letter of support. We received 15, which is absolutely fantastic to see the support from our region and our MPO members and other organizations. We will hold on to those letters of support should this funding opportunity reopen or be revised and keep you updated. So now it is indefinitely paused.
Thank you, Anna. Up next is the President Street Railroad Crossing Elimination Study update. Is Teresa Scott
online?
Online. Hi,
I'm
Teresa.
Here. Hey, thank you, Deanna. Thank you, everybody, for letting me present to y'all this afternoon. I am Teresa Scott, Deputy Project Manager for Atlas. And I just wanted to share with you all the latest on our study. We are getting very close to the end now. If you will go to the next slide, this is just a reminder of what our project goals were and where we started, where we're going to end up. Next slide. Quick reminder of the study area that we did look at. And of course, we narrowed that study area to President Street after looking at the larger area to begin with. Next slide. Just to reiterate what we did for public engagement, there is, you are able to go on, I believe, Core MPO and Chatham County have links to the page, the project page, and that has the latest information on it. And I believe, Deanna, is the final report uploaded also? Excuse me, the draft final report?
Yes. Final report is attached to the agenda as well.
Yeah, it's also on the agenda today.
Great. So that has been up the entire time. We've also had social media posts. We've had public meetings. The latest was a public information open house held last week. And at that meeting, we presented our preferred alternative. Next slide, please. And actually, you can keep going. All right. So we took two alternatives forward to the public. And the first is alternative one, which is a short-term fix. And you all have seen this before. It is basically adding a third outside lane to President Street westbound. And this will help get people off of President Street onto Truman a little quicker, because what we did find in our study is that the traffic that is delayed by the railroad crossing, it just takes a long time to get people cleared out. So that was a lot of the backup that was being caused. Not all of it, but some of it. So this additional lane can also be used for traffic that's required to stop at crossings like school buses and transit buses, things that, have to stop. They could use that outside lane and not, block the other two lanes. So this one, the cost is right around $2 million. This is something the city could do, the county could do short term to kind of alleviate the, traffic. It is not going to fix it though. Next slide, please. This is a longer term option. This one is the Green Tea Trumpet Interchange. And if you will notice, we are going to remove one of the loops there on Truman Parkway and give you one point of access either to or from Truman onto President Street. Also, the blue that is to the west of Truman Parkway, that is depicting a bridge that will be over, that will go over the railroad and back under Truman. And then we will add another loop ramp to the outside of the existing ramp there on Truman that will take traffic from President Street westbound on to Truman headed south. We're also going to eliminate one traffic signal. And if you'll notice on the south side there, Truman Parkway, of President Street, you've got two lanes that will be continuous flow. It looks like three there. But anyway, we know there will be some continuous flow lanes because that is the predominant movement in the evenings. Also, another advantage to this is that it could be phased construction. So you could start with the bridge over the railroad and then come back and reconstruct the Truman ramps. All right, next phase, please. Next slide, not phase. So just a reminder of our key contact information. It's got Deanna on there. She is our point of contact with the county. Ellen's our PM. You've got me and also Denise, who does all of our public outreach. I know that was very brief, but we did look at these before. And if you have any, if you want any detail, I would definitely look at the draft final report just so you know what's coming next. We will compile all of the public comments. Public comment period is open until the end of the month. So if anyone wants to go on the website and take a look at everything and make a comment, you certainly can until the end of next week. And at that time, we'll compile everything and we will complete our study and we should wrap everything up for the county in March. Any questions?
All right.
That is all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa.
Yeah, if you want to review the document, it's attached to the agenda.
It's really exciting.
Yeah. Thanks so much. If there's no questions, up next, we've got potential impacts from federal funding freeze.
Okay. Before I share area-specific information, I just want to mention two of the articles. One of is this, so you can see some people have already done some evaluation about the federal funding freeze impact on the transportation. So you can just take a look at this and see where we will be impacted the most. That's what happened in this article. And then there's another article that we received from AMPO, Association of Metropolitan Planning Organizations, this morning. So basically what we are saying is that after FHWA approves our TIP amendments, we cannot start to do funding obligation. They are subject to any changes will be subject to an added layer of review. So that is for, the added review layer has effectively placed a hold on all projects requiring TIP amendments. So that means a lot of projects will be delayed. So we can expect a lot of delays. So this is the new information. We still need some time to do exploration and digest this new information. There will be several webinars being scheduled so that we can learn a little bit more. But in terms of the specific impacts on our area, we did, I would call these potential impacts, so we wouldn't be certain what kind of impacts will be taking place to each project. We don't know, but we just compiled all of this information just to tell you potentially these projects will all be impacted. So these are the highway projects in the current TIP. So you see the Back River Bridge, Talmadge Bridge, Bull River Bridge, Lasretta Grange Bridge to US 80, I-95 ITS project, Project Durain, Traverse Road. So the highlighted ones, the highlighted in yellow, these ones, these projects have carbon reduction program funds or transportation alternative funds or protective funds, or like a Y-800. So all of these projects, with resiliency or environmental related funds or pedestrian, related funds might be impacted even more than the rest of the other projects, but the rest of the project will be impacted as well. The most of the project will be delayed, but the yellow highlighted projects might just go away. We don't know right now. Just there are a lot of uncertainties, but we just want to highlight these to let you know. And then also, some federally funded grant projects, because we already talked about I-16 ramp removal, reconnecting communities. We don't know whether the program will go away or stay. And we don't know where the city's contract with FHWA on that project. We just don't know. And then also, because climate change is a forbidden word now, resiliency is a forbidden word. So anything with electric charging, electric vehicles might be at risk. So we list all of those. So that includes actually the GDOT's Navi project and the port and the Viterra's electric charging project. And also we already talked about pedestrian safety is now a problem. So the SS4A, that will be, the funds will be used for the 37th Street improvements might be, we don't know, might be delayed. So we just don't know. But these would be the grant funded project that potentially be impacted. And for the projects under construction, we think those probably would be okay, but I have to consult GDOT on this. So my understanding is if this project, you have the construction funds authorized, the funds will be saved on in the GDOT banks. But if GDOT goes for the reimbursement program, like you have to go through Federal Highway Administration to get the funds and you get reimbursed and GDOT pays the contractors, that might be delayed. But if the funds are already in the GDOT banks, we should be okay. But I don't know. I want to ask Katie, well, what is the situation over here?
I can ask him about this, but I really don't have any information on this yet.
Okay. So last time we contacted GDOT about this, what we were told, at least from GDOT planning, said is like we would just move along as if nothing happened until we are told otherwise. So we will still try to just to continue. But this will be potentially impacted. And then the transit projects, a lot of transit projects are ongoing, and we also have projects programmed in the TIP. So those include the fixed route, paratransit services. I think paratransit will be probably okay because the paratransit services over here is totally funded by the Chatham County. So that might be okay. But ferry boat program might be impacted as well. The microtransit probably will be impacted as well. So those were the transit projects that will be impacted. But there will also be projects that will also have impacts on the MPO because the MPO funds, we are funded by the highway planning funds, transit planning funds, but they are doing evaluation, like I said. So they might find some problem with our UPWP. So we might send reimbursement requests, but we don't get paid because if GDOT doesn't get refunds from FTN and FHWA, they cannot pay us. So if the MPO functions stops, and that will impact all of us. So we cannot process like MTP amendments, TIP amendments. So all of the projects will be impacted. So I'm just listing all of these. And also we already talked about the three planning studies that we are doing right now. So we don't know about the funding certainties. So there are a lot of funding certainties. So we don't know when the contract will be signed and when we can start kick off the studies. So I'm just listing all of this information over here. So these would be all potentially impacted. But what specific impacts on what project, we just don't know. There are a lot of uncertainties. But I'm just listing all of this information over here just for you to see. Any questions?
Thank you so much for compiling that, Lakota. It's okay. Good information.
Yeah, thank you.
Great. And then I think that brings us into our information reports. Up first is GDOT.
So first on the pre-construction statuses, this is Back River and the widening project and the bridge replacement. We had a PFPR was anticipated at the end of February, so I don't have any information on that, but maybe soon. And 414 and 415, that's Bull River and Lazaretto Creek, we're still waiting on anticipated studies. Um, 18023 is the roundabout on Hodgeville Road. And the next milestone is PFPR. They anticipate that in May. And there's a POH anticipated in April. 15675 is still on hold for let until the other projects are finished, the bridge jacking and the repairs to the bridge. 15151 is the safety improvements project. And the next milestone is FFPR. And number 8 is 20282. This is a grade separation project, and it's currently undergoing stakeholder outreach and early concept activities. And they anticipate a concept report by this summer. And then we also have 17183. That's the bridge replacement project, and it looks like there's going to be another POH here in March, and I'll be sending the blast out to the locals as soon as I get a virtual date for the website. And then for the active projects, they're all progressing, and I'll put the percentages on the report.
Any questions for Katie? Thank you so much. Up next is Chatham County. I don't have any updates beyond what is presented on the status report, but please let me know if you have any questions on county projects. All right. Up next is City of Savannah.
And I'm going to hit the highlights. A notice to proceed was issued in December for operational improvements at Montgomery and White Bluff for Project Duren. We received an updated public involvement plan in June. FHWA provided additional guidance in January, although we're now in a bit of a holding pattern depending on how the new executive orders regarding environmental justice shake out. De Lesseps Avenue is 64% complete. APAC has completed the construction and final surface between Waters and Costa Rica, and additional paving between Costa Rica and Cuba is nearly complete. The Truman Linear Park trail construction began and is continuing to progress on schedule. Concrete pours along Reuben Clark are ongoing, and trail grading continues for the first section. We are on target to meet the completion date of June 2026. Middle Ground Road, City Council approved a design contract with Kimley Horn in September, and a notice to proceed was issued on December 27th. So they are moving forward. The I-16 ramp removal project, GDOT executed a contract to update the IMR, although some of the funding is from the Connecting Communities grant. So I'm not sure exactly how that will play out.
Thank you, Michelle. Up next, we've got the Savannah Hilton Head International Airport.
Yeah, the airport has six major projects under construction. The security checkpoint expansion, we're working on punch list items. We expect that project to wrap up late next month. Fuel storage facility, we're testing our new fuel systems and pumping, getting those approved by the airlines so we can fuel airplanes. That's going to be wrapping up in April of this year. Construct auxiliary parking, both parking lots are open, and we're working on pedestrian walkways to the terminal. We have a June 25 completion date on target. Air cargo facility, they finished up the soil improvements. We're starting the foundation slabs for the two sorting facilities, and we'll be doing the tilt wall construction soon. Terminal concourse expansion, we just broke ground. We're doing test piles for the foundation at the moment. Next May of next year's completion date. And taxiway G and bridge, the contractors just mobilized on site surveys, and we have a completion date of December of this year for that. This project, will have a lot of impacts on Gulfstream Road at the airport, which is a heavily traveled road, so that's a very important project. And then we have two other projects that are upcoming. We're demoing the Quail Run Lodge, the Frog and the Peach restaurant to facilitate future expansion in the southeast quadrant, and we're improving wayfinding around the airport. So we'll be putting out a new signage project for all the signs on airport property. That's all I got.
Thank you, Heath. Up next, Chatham Area Transit.
Do we have any put it online?
After that, we've got City of Port Wentworth.
I'm just going to give a few highlights of stuff that we got going on in Port Wentworth. We're fixing to finish the new fire station headquarters. The grand opening should be by May 2025. On the anchor part, we're going to be doing the we're already going to start vertical construction on the Ice Cove and the amphitheater. We're going to start that next month. The city hall, we are expanding our city hall. It's going to be adding about 15 more offices to that building. On the planning infrastructure, we did approve a new streetscape vision plan, and Public Works has been working on Highway 21 beautification. So now we have a night shift twice a month, kind of cleaning it up, blowing the dust and picking up trash. On the comprehensive plan, we're doing some updates. It's going to include some future land use, and that's about it.
Thank you so much, Omar.
Thank you for providing the written report.
You're welcome.
All right. Is there anyone else that has updates? I know we've got some other municipalities listed, but I don't think we have any other attachments. All right. And then is there anything else? Wakota?
Do we have anybody from these agencies who want to give a report? Bryan County, like Richmond Hill, Effingham County?
This is Pete Colbrons from Tybee. We're just finishing up some local paving projects, a local sewer job. We got some paving on that sewer project next week.
Ms. Tybee, right? Okay.
Thank you.
Notice, remember we talked about after the last GAMPO meeting, we talked about some funding that might be available. And we decided that we want to like at least to do inventory of the federal land. And then, so the improvements, the access to the federal land will be eligible for this kind of funding. So just want to show you some of the projects over here, some of the funding availability over here. So if you, I think we have like Port Pulaski, I know that is federal land, right? Yeah. So some other land that is federally owned, but so any kind of access, highway improvements, transit improvements, bicycle pedestrian improvement would be all eligible. So. And the last time we heard this kind of funding is not competitive. So basically what you want, you can apply, you can get it. So let's try to take advantage of this opportunity. That's it.
All right. Well, thank everyone so much. We appreciate you for coming today. Our next TCC meeting will be in April.
Thank you.